Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Brandon Bigsby here with you on this Monday morning. It's Monday morning at 8 o'clock. That means it can only mean one thing. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us now on the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm a delight, Robert. How are you today?
We're doing awesome. We're out here at a golf course today, so my life could not be better. Anytime we're at a golf course, I'm in a good spot. We threw this question out there earlier, Corey, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. You know, we've talked so much this offseason about what the Titans have done in the draft and free agency. It's been a busy offseason. I still think the most important question with this entire franchise is, individually, what does Cam Ward do from year one to year two, right? Like, it's ultimately going to come down to that, right, when it comes to the quarterback. So if I asked you, like, what's your confidence level in Cam Ward that he begins to solidify himself as a franchise quarterback this season in year two, what would your answer to that be?
It's pretty high, because I just look at the transformation the second half of last season after Michael Foy took over, and just, you know, how much the scoring moved up, how much the touchdown passes moved up, and just, you know, how the sacks came way down. I mean, it was a lot different looking the back half of the season when there were adults running the thing. And then, you know, the other thing I always go back to is that last game of the season against Jacksonville. That drive to open the game was their most impressive drive of the season against what was a playoff team and a quality defense. And then you saw the drop-off when Brandon Allen came into the game. You know, that's how important Cam Ward was to the Titans in that game, that you just had a catastrophic drop-off at that position. So I feel like he did grow, especially the second half of the season. And I think the growth of the coaching staff, the growth of the roster, the growth of Cam Ward should all show itself this year. How much? We'll see. But I do have a high level of confidence he'll be better.
So if he went, say, low 60s completion percentage, about 3,500 yards passing, 26 TDs, 9 picks, would you then say he has arrived and you know he's going to be a franchise quarterback?
Well, you know, those numbers would all say that to me, but, you know, after Marcus Mariota's second year, which was really, really good,
I can't get anything by you.
Those were Marcus's numbers his second year. Yeah. I was trying to pull a fast one on you.
No. I mean, Marcus was electric his second year. He was fantastic. And you thought he was on his way, but he couldn't stay healthy. And so, you know, that'll be part of it for Cam. So if Cam has that same type of year Marcus had, I'd be really happy.
What about sticking with quarterbacks in the AFC South? If you're Houston, are you paying C.J. Stroud, given that, you know, he's gone through 3 years, he's on a fifth-year option, they've already given a huge contract to Will Anderson this offseason, which they should. I mean, no hesitation there. But, like, Stroud's a really interesting thing. The numbers would tell you that he's trending down. They got a defense right now in the NFL that's on the very short list of best defenses in the league. And the conversation in Houston is, well, is the quarterback the one holding them back? Like, how do you think they handle the C.J. Stroud situation? How would you handle it?
Well, there was no question that last year he was holding them back, and I think their whole offseason has to be dedicated on how they get him turned back around, because you're right, the rest of the roster is good enough to compete. And when you look at the Patriots team that went to the Super Bowl, and you look at the talent level on Houston compared to it, there was only one position holding them back, and that was the quarterback spot. And, you know, they've picked up his fifth-year option, but I think if they were sold on him, they'd probably already have an extension done with him.
Yeah.
I think he's got to produce this year, or they've got a decision to make.
So Corey, we were talking earlier, you know, Mike Sando always at The Athletic always does the GM, you know, GMs talk about the classes and things like that, right? You know, on all 32 teams. And it seems to be a prevailing sentiment on Carnell Tate is safe pick. Do you like that assessment? Do you agree with that assessment? You know, is a safe pick, low, high floor, going to be a solid to good player? Like, you know, how does that make you feel? How do you think that makes Titans fans feel?
Well, I would just say that if that's the pick they made and that's the way they viewed it, that was what they viewed as their best option. You know, were there other players they could have picked there, you know, for sure? But, you know, they're probably also looking at, we need to do something for Cam Ward. And, you know, because we can count on, you know, one finger, the wide receiver one that this team has had since Derek Mason retired. All right. So, you know, they desperately need that. That doesn't mean you swing and say, well, we hope this guy. I think, you know, the feeling is that when you say safe pick, he is the most pro-ready guy. You feel like he is a 1,000-yard guy without any question, which in 17 games is only 60 yards a game, and that he will produce for you. I think there had to be a high level of confidence that he would be a consistent performer for them to make that pick, not just, well, we got to have somebody.
So, Corey, the Predators are still searching for a general manager. They had the announcement, I believe it was February the 2nd, that Barry Trotz was stepping down as GM. You have seen other teams in the NHL hire and fire general managers, and the Predators still do not have one. So, on the one hand, I said this earlier in the show, like, they're going to end up with a general manager. I think they've zeroed in on, you know, their top pool of candidates. I don't think they're missing out on anybody right now. But it is, you know, like Predators fans are growing frustrated with, why is this taking so long? So what's your take on, I guess, why this is taking so long with the Nashville Predators?
I have no idea, because, I mean, the only reason for me is because you haven't found your guy. Because if you find your guy, you hire him, right? Because you don't want to lose him to somebody else. And, you know, if somebody comes in and, you know, blows your doors off and say, that's our guy. And so, you know, I'm surprised too, because it shouldn't take this long. It shouldn't, but it has. And, you know, at one of the, have you heard of Scott White?
Oh, yeah.
So when I was a little baby sportscaster in Columbia, South Carolina, Scott White was the first head coach of the Columbia Inferno of the ECHL.
It's not Scott White I thought you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
But continue with the story.
Continue, sorry.
Well, so he's like head of like player development for like Dallas in their minor league system. And I guess he's getting a look. And
okay,
I was stunned to see his
we're
name
back
came
on
out
the same page.
I was like, man, I haven't seen that guy in 20 years.
Would you have an issue if Tom Fitzgerald was the choice, Corey?
Look, if they think he's the best candidate, then hire away. I do not care.
Because obviously the history of the, you know, his history of the organization is troubling for some people. Though I don't see why the fact that he wasn't here with this front office to me makes that a non-issue. But obviously it's not that way for everybody.
Well, I mean, everybody is their own person. All right. I mean, so regardless of who you work with, who you work for, you're still your own person. You still have your own ideas. And, you know, those come out after you're gone. So who knows what he is compared to what he was then?
Yeah, that's a good point. Last thing for you here, Corey, as we look ahead to continued off-season stuff here, what are your thoughts on a Robert Saleh basically looking at the rookie minicamps and saying, yeah, you know, these draft picks really don't need to be out here for anything meaningful that we don't want to get them hurt?
Well, we've seen a lot of rookies pull hamstrings.
We have.
That's for sure. So, and you know, this is the point I made last night on Sports Extra. The Titans have had normal rookie minicamps the last 3 years in a row and won 12 games total.
That's
so if he
true.
Wants to try something different, go right ahead. Because what I've watched the last 3 years has sucked. So go right ahead, try something different.
How bad is the viewing for the media? Is Kaharski gonna totally stroke out this year?
I think he already has. Look, working in television, I get to see the training camp video from a lot of the other cities because we are always asking for practice video.
Yeah.
And it is not surprising how bad ours is getting. Because, like, when I see what the Kansas City Chiefs send us, I mean, not the Chiefs, but the people who cover the Chiefs, I'm like, my God, we should just be so grateful for what we have. And so I just knew it was a matter of time. Now, do I buy the player's safety excuse? No, I do not. I think that's garbage because their cameras will still be all over it. This is my opinion. I can't prove it. It's all to drive people to the team website where the better video will be.
Yeah. Oh, I think that – I think that's a very sound take.
Yeah, I think it is as well. Corey, thank you as always.
No one has told me that. That's just me having a brain.
Okay, there you go. Corey, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking
but
time to be with us this morning. And
unlike Karski's.
We will talk to you next week.
All right. Hey, my big epiphany on golf is it would be a much better game with bigger holes and smaller balls.
Yep.
Go get them.
All right, we'll see if we can work on that. We'll see if we can work
right.
on that.
Like
Corey
marbles?
Curtis from News 2, our guest here on the program. Yeah, if you could get the... a pinball out there with a basketball.
Throw a marble into a well? I'll play that game.
Exactly. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Alex Doherty will be with us at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean. Will be with us at 8:30. We will get into the Nashville Predators with him. The rookie minicamp stuff. We talked about that to begin the show. I don't really care that much about whether or not the draft picks get on the field in rookie minicamp. The main thing I care about is, like, mentally getting yourself ready to go. Get the playbook down and get yourself in a spot where by the time training camp comes around – you're in a good spot and nowhere to be. Now, you know, the point that they made over the weekend, and I heard Brian Daboll talk about this, Robert Saleh talked about this, is, you know, it's a new system, so it's the veterans are having to learn new things too. I still think there's a difference, Joe, between being in the NFL, a veteran player who's been around, who's seen different systems, who knows what NFL daily life is like. I think there's a difference between that and being a rookie coming in and basically drinking through a fire hose for a couple of weeks trying to process all this information. So I know that they're all technically learning a new system. I still think there's a difference between veterans and rookies when it comes to implementing and getting those systems down at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely there is. But, you know, I mean, this stuff is, you know, The CBAs have more and more have cut down on, well, certainly on the full pad stuff, right? But this was never going to be any of that anyway. I mean, everything in the spring is obviously non-contact and things like that. You can take mental reps in a lot of ways. I don't know. The rookie, the way they're handling that stuff to me is totally fine. It's just a little bit less stuff for fans to grab onto and things like that. There have been times in the spring in the past where, well, like I remember, not a rookie, but like, for example, Julio Jones, you know, after they traded for him, I guess that would have been mini camp, right? It must have been mandatory mini camp.
That's the
only, that's the only thing that he would have done anyway, but, you know. Made a few plays out there like, oh, my God, they are about to absolutely take over the
Brown,
NFL.
AJ Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry combo.
It's like,
special.
This is going to be the greatest offense in the history of the NFL. Still a team that was the one seed, by the way.
They were?
Not really because of that, but,
their hit rate with being the one seed with Julio Jones on their roster, pretty high.
That's true, man. Like one for two, I guess, right?
One for one? Was he there for another year?
Was he not there at all in 22? Am I wrong about that?
I don't think he was.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Okay. All right, 100%. I was like, yeah, 50%, pretty good. No, about 100%. But, it's like this time of year, any little crumbs, people will
it was
right?
1 year.
Okay,
Julio.
It was 1 year.
He's in Tampa the next year.
Okay, yeah.
Getting the ball thrown to him from the Pharaoh down there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Vrabel didn't seem to be a big Julio fan. Mike Vrabel / Leo DiCaprio. But, Yeah, I guess there's just going to be less stuff in the spring, you know, for people to get excited about. Although, well, the Titans, again, they've got their – they'll have their cameras close on everything, and other media will not. No.
Yep. Going back to our Russell Wilson conversation, one texter said that Brady and Rodgers would be a good duo together. Romo's garbage and on TV has the most annoying voice. I do agree with the voice thing from time to time. Like every now and then the, what's going to happen here, Jim? Gets a little old. I'm like, all right, calm it down. Just calm it down.
Yeah, Brady and Rodgers, I said, what would they be good for? Torturing, you know, like enemies of a state or something? Like what would Brady and Rodgers together?
You don't want that.
No.
Somebody has to call the game.
Yeah.
You can go three-man booth.
Well, yeah, there are the three-man booth. And Monday Night Football popularized it, right,
sure.
With Howard Cosell and Gifford and Meredith. But, yeah, man, actually, I would kind of be interested to hear like Brady and Rodgers trying to talk over each other in a booth with, like, you know, Ian Eagle trying to, you know, call the game or something.
You want to know a hot take? I think if you ever could get Aaron Rodgers to actually focus on doing the job, he'd be pretty good at it. The problem is he wouldn't focus on doing the job. He would be focused on everything else.
What if he showed up shrooming, just like tripping his mind off, you know? What is he doing? So he's are these fake pictures, or is he actually wearing, like
– I can't remember.
Like apparel of various teams. He wore, like, Jets, and then he wore
Jets
Cardinals.
Stuff, yeah.
Then there was a picture of him with Cardinals. And I'm always like, okay, so either he's trolling people, which is kind of funny, or it's just, like, fake pictures
it's
on the internet.
Fake,
he can't even – yeah.
I mean, the Jets thing would be objectively hilarious if he's just walking around in a Jets hoodie. He's like, yeah, I used to – I have Jets.
I mean, you got free
left
gear.
Over. I got free gear left
you got
over.
Free gear. Yeah, yeah, why not go work out in your old Jets gear?
Yeah,
you know? No big deal.
Is he ever going to decide whether or not he's going to play football again? That'd be a good start.
That would be. So this guy says, you know, I'd rather hear a game called by ball knowers than by Romo's bum ass. Hell, even Gronk would be better. Are you serious, dude? You think that Gronk would be better than Romo? I get that people are mad at Romo and he's annoying sometimes. He is a ball knower. I mean, Romo is a very good describer of what's happening formationally.
Yeah.
He does predict plays right a lot. He like again, he makes some mistakes and he's annoying.
Yeah.
You cannot seriously tell me that Gronk ball good. Me like food. I mean, yeah. You can't be serious. Gronk. Have you seen that dude in the studio? It's almost worth watching. It's so bad. Come on, man.
Hey.
Gronk.
I wouldn't mind for one game seeing Gronk do some color commentary. I think it'd be pretty funny.
I mean,
I have no idea what formation that was, but it worked out. There is
hit hard.
It does make me think of the old, like, they used to pick Brady up at the line of scrimmage, like on the boom mic. And there's one where he's just like, Gronk, stand up. And Gronk just stands right up. And it's like, so Brady just told him what to do the whole time. Okay, cool. This is what you do on this play. You run straight.
That's left, Gronk. Gronk, that's left.
Yeah, exactly. The other point that I was curious to get Corey's thoughts on here, he said pretty confident on the Cam Ward discussion we had earlier about turning into a franchise quarterback in year two. And, you know, he laid out the reasons for it. As you pointed out earlier in the show, like regardless of how good he is, you're always playing a dangerous game when you say that you know at the end of the year. But Corey seems pretty confident that we're going to see some good stuff from Cam Ward this year in year two.
Corey at least made me feel better about it. He was obviously a way bigger Mariota homer than I was back 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was really good. Corey was like, I thought he was amazing. So, but that is, it's a good – he also knew exactly when I was saying those numbers that I was talking about Mariota second year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Corey's I don't know, high confidence – you know, the whole thing with Cam, it's like obviously this happens a lot with any kind of pick that's somewhat polarizing. The people who are like all for it are going to tend to – they're going to hold on as long as they can. You know, they think they're going to look at things in a more positive light, more glass half full, whereas people who are against it are probably going to be quicker to criticize. I just don't know how anybody could be highly confident after that year. Again, it wasn't a year without hope at all. And there are plenty of excuses to be made, but high confidence is surprising to me.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Talking Predators, and to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Alex Doherty to the program from the Tennessean. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, y'all. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So let's just start here. What's your read on the general manager process for the Nashville Predators? They announced Barry Trotz stepping down as general manager, I believe, on February the 2nd. It is May the 4th. They have still not hired a general manager. So what's your read on kind of how this is going and why it's taking as long as it is when you have other teams and organizations firing and hiring general managers relatively quickly around the league?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One is I think it's – I'm not really surprised that it took this – that's taking this long. I would say when they originally came out and described how this was going to work, you know, they gave like, you know, end of May, June as the timeline, which, you know, at the time was 4 months away, so it seemed crazy. But I think they just knew that they were going to have to spend a lot of time going over a lot of different possible candidates, and they didn't exactly know, you know, what direction they were going to go. I mean, if you look at the list of candidates that's come out, I mean, there's guys who are former general managers like Mark Bergevin and Brendan Shanahan. There's current assistant general managers like Brett Peterson and Bill Scott and Scott White. And then there's, you know, pick your choice of agent or, you know, country music executive or, you know, healthcare executive. Who knows?
That's also, Tennessean writer.
You know, yep. Yeah, exactly. Tennessean beat writer for their team. Yeah, exactly. That could be applying to this job. I mean, there's probably a wide range. Compare that with the teams that have already hired theirs. Like, you know, it'd be one thing if these other teams were snagging up guys that were on the Predators list. Like if the Devils came in and hired Brett Peterson right away, who is I think one of the top candidates. That would be an alarming sign, right? That would be like, okay, well, what they're spinning their wheels and the guys are getting snagged up. But the guys that are being hired, John Chayka with the Maple Leafs, and then the guy with the Devils, whose name escapes me now, Sonny Mehta, that's his name.
Yep.
Just not guys that were on the list, right? These are not guys that were even mentioned with the Predators. So they had their guy. The Predators have a long list and have a lot of work to do to figure out how to get out of this mess. So I'm not panicking at all. I think it makes sense to take this while. Now, I will say, if it gets to late May, if we get to the Stanley Cup final and there's not one named, then I'd be a little worried. But I always kind of thought this would take like mid-May towards the end of May by the time we got a name.
Interesting. I didn't realize that was actually laid out that way. I mean, I knew that they talked about like taking their time, but so when they get someone in, I guess if it is like late May, Alex, is that not somewhat of a scramble, you know, as you look toward the draft? Or is that, I guess you think it's just, that's still plenty of time to get your ducks in order. And I guess you have a lot of people, obviously.
Yeah.
Trotz is still in place doing stuff to get it ready.
I think that's your answer. Because Trotz is still there. He's probably doing probably more, just as much work as he did last year around this time. Your scouts are still there. Now, the big question is, if they hire someone outside and someone like Jeff Kielty is gone, who is your director of scouting, that's going to make for an awkward draft. You know, will Kielty even be there? I don't anticipate any of the scouts being replaced, you know, until after the draft, if they are at all. So I think the draft is not as big of a deal. I do think that they want to get someone there to prepare for, you know, obviously free agency, which happens like a few days after that. So I think it's more about that. And also I think the draft, there's so much movement late, you know, guys, you know, if you remember last year, and this happens every year, there's not always a consensus number one. Last year, obviously Matthew Schaefer, but you know, assuming that they don't beat the odds and they're going to be picking around 10, 11, 12, There's so many different kinds of players that can be available there. I mean, like, guys are going to drop down, guys are going to rise up, and I think that I'm not too worried about the draft. It's more about free agency, and then it's also about the short-term game plan. You know, the number one question that has to be asked by Haslam and everyone else doing this interview is, how are you going to get the team out of this current mess? I mean, the situation with the cap and the age of the players and everything that that's in front of them is not just, you know, this draft away or this free agency away. How are you going to get out of this over the next 2 to 3 years? And, you know, I think hearing answers to those questions takes a lot of time and understanding, you know, with all the different strategies. How would teams deal with, you know, the current cap situation or the current roster situation with the Predators? So there's a lot of questions going on. It's probably awkward having Barry Trotz in those interviews saying, hey, how would you fix all the things I did over the last 3 years? How would you resolve this?
Well, that's kind of where I was going to go with this. Like, you know, when the Predators laid out this original plan of hiring a general manager, well, the plan that they laid out involved a search firm that pretty quickly was deemed not to be legal. So, you know, obviously that had to that plan had to change relatively quickly into the process. But I've heard this question from Predators fans, and I think it's a fair one. Like, does Barry Trotz really need to be involved in this? Like, obviously he is, but like the tenure as general manager didn't go very well with Barry Trotz. Yeah. Like, do you really want him involved in selecting your next general manager?
Yeah, and the more you hear about Tom Fitzgerald being involved, like, I mean, I can't confirm this or anything, but doesn't that just sound like that's probably a Barry Trotz influence? Like,
it does.
I can't imagine Nick Saban knows who Tom Fitzgerald is, or even Bill Haslam. I feel like it's got to be some influence of Barry Trotz saying, hey, I know this guy, he's really good, and let's get him in here. And we can talk about what, I mean, my opinion on this Fitzgerald thing, we can talk about that in a minute. But I think the Trotz involvement is like, it's probably still more of the saving face. That's not the right way to put it. It's protecting the legacy of Barry Trotz, right? Like, let's allow him to be a part of this. Let's not, you know, we know that the ending, we know things have not gone well. We know that we want to soften this landing. And so let's have him be involved in this. But I don't think that he's going to have the final say, right? I mean, like, that's going to be Haslam. It's going to be the overall group. It's going to be the team. It's always been strange. But as soon as you start hearing that Tom Fitzgerald is involved, it's like, okay, Barry Trotz is definitely the one setting this up. It's got to be.
So you don't think – so without that, you don't think that he would be a legitimate candidate otherwise?
Talking Fitzgerald.
Yeah, talking about Fitzgerald.
Yeah, a legitimate candidate, maybe, just because he's available and he's a current GM that was just made available, maybe. But, I mean, okay, so, like, people talk about the connection with the team. You know, and we, you know, you guys have talked about how it's not really that much of a connection because, you know, he played so long ago and his GM, his front office experience has nothing to do with the Predators. But let me just, like, I kind of looked around at some of his experience here. So, like, the things that he did with New Jersey, I mean, tell me who this sounds like. It's you know, he takes over in the middle of COVID. His first move is to sell off Kyle Palmieri, Travis Zajac to the Islanders. Retained salary on both, so yep. he had to retain salary. They saw some improvement. He can make some small deals, and then in 22-23, when Jack Hughes breaks out and they have a, you know, playoff team, they makes a big splash at the deadline. Gets Timo Meier, signs into a big contract, which has not panned out because Timo Meier has plummeted in terms of his production.
Yep.
And then trades for these goaltenders like Vitek Vanacek and Jake Allen and Jacob Markstrom, trying to find a solution. Damon Severson trades him away. He takes a lot of small risk on guys who really don't have a lot of upside. I see a lot of Barry Trotz in these kind of
yes.
moves. Not a lot of creativity, chasing trends, being more reactive than proactive. His resume with New Jersey, just to me alone, is not enough to make him to give him the job. I don't see a resume that proves to me that he can come in and resolve what the Predators have. So I don't like it as just from a perspective of I don't think he's the man for the job on paper.
Well, Alex has talked me out of Tom Fitzgerald.
So, let me say this on the front end. The odds of the Predators winning the NHL draft lottery tomorrow are not high. They're at 3.5%. We saw the Islanders win it last year with the same odds at 3.5%. So when you double that, Alex, I mean, the odds of teams back-to-back years of winning the NHL draft lottery at 3.5% are not very high. So I don't at all expect this to happen. Well, let's just say that the Predators, for the first time in the history of their franchise, get really lucky in the NHL draft lottery, and they do win. How much does that change the equation for you if it's Gavin McKenna coming in next year?
In terms of the near-term strategy, it is bumped up, and it's a huge increase, like a tenfold increase, I would say. Now, I don't know that the guy's going to come in and be like a rookie of the year. But it totally changes the math in terms of what your core looks like. And then you've got a core of like two top five picks that are legitimate top six players. And you don't have to worry too much about like, oh, well, you know, Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly are not going to be here in 5 years because those guys will be. And you've got it. You've got a plan. And having said that, like, even if they get number two, they could probably get a player that is still really good. I mean, Ivar Stenberg is a really good Swedish player, and there's a lot of defensemen at the top of this draft that could be really good. They could definitely draft a defenseman. They need that. Yep. So, I mean, 3.5%, that's not a very good odds. You'd probably have better odds of getting good practice video at the Titans than you would getting the top overall pick, which, by the way, I was at on Friday. I helped out our guy Nick Suss to go out there. Big, that was an interesting experience being able to film through the construction and you know, all that. So that, it's so odd to me because, like, you know, as you know, Robbie, like at Predators practice, you can do pretty much everything except for go on the ice.
Yeah.
And then at Titans practice, it's like you can film this one guy doing this one drill over here for 30 seconds, and then everything else you can't do.
It's truly remarkable. Is it true also that you're not allowed to kneel now? You can't kneel? Is that true?
I didn't see this. I heard about this.
You're not allowed to crouch at all? What if you just short?
Stand up!
What if Diego Pavia came out there to watch practice? Would he be kicked out?
I may have done some illegal kneeling. I don't even remember. I may have accidentally leaned on a wall for a second. I think I did, actually. I'm probably going to be banned.
How salty was Kaharski? He must have been a real treat out there, huh?
I steered clear.
Yeah, it's best not to interact with him. Yeah, it's like feeding the lions. Just don't interact. Don't look him straight in the eye. Yeah, it's better way to go.
I could tell it was not the time to chit chat. It was there's a lot of emotion going on about the filming stuff. So
he's out there swearing into the ether.
I can't wait to get him in on a Wednesday. Alex, thank you, sir. Promise me this: if they win the draft lottery this week, you'll join us again on the show this week.
Absolutely, I will be there. I'll be here to talk about it because that would actually be a lot of fun, and I would love to cover that. But let's just expect them to drop and down to number 12, which is probably going to happen.
Yeah, that is more likely. That has been the trend. Alex Doherty from the Tennessee, and our guest. Alex, appreciate you, buddy.
All right, see y'all later.
Yep, we'll react to what Alex had to say here on the program. Wrap up the show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Trevor on the text line says, I've never looked forward to a Wednesday show more. I can't wait for PK's crash out. It could be special on Wednesday. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe he'll have calmed down by then. Well, I don't know the schedule, though. Like, if he has to go back out there again, it'll bring up all those hard feelings all over again.
I'm sure you'll get him going. It doesn't take much.
That's true. You two are kind of made for each other. I owe him after what you guys did to me last week.
It's true. It is true.
Dude, did you see
you guys. I didn't do anything. I just kind of stood there, which is my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. You're not as innocent as you claim to be. But how about that? I love the gone fishing thing on the inside of the NBA. The one, the Celtics. Oh, my God. Did you see that? John Krasinski? The John Krasinski was at the office. I forgot he was a Boston fan. That was hilarious.
Is there anything else in that?
I don't remember anything else about it.
Matthew Nash said, if there was ever a time we needed a time machine, filming the Titans practice would have been one of those times. We could all cry with laughter watching Kuharsky just cussing people out in his New York accent.
Remember when I took that picture of him from Titans headquarters and he was like just sitting by himself on the curb?
Yeah.
Like crying.
Yeah. Remember that one.
God, that was beautiful.
Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. My thing is that I was not a huge fan of Trotz being a part of the search, but I did come around a little bit with someone saying that if he was not a part of the search, there really wouldn't be a hockey mind involved in the GM search, which, I mean, yeah, it is very important to have a hockey mind involved with the GM search. But is that more of a kind of excuse to have him involved, or how much validity do y'all put in that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Like, look, Barry Trotz is a very good hockey mind. He's a Hall of Fame coach, okay? So there are people that take this conversation way too far the other way. Like, I understand if you're a Predators fan not wanting to have the former GM involved in picking the next one. I get that. I really do. I think there are people that take it like that think that Barry Trotz can't tie his, you know, shoelaces out there when it comes to a hockey conversation, and that's not the case. So I have no problem with him being part of it. What I would have a problem with if I'm a Predators fan is him basically leading it, right? Like if it's him, and I know Bill Haslam is going to end up being the one who's the decision maker because he's the owner. Like, ultimately, everything comes back to him.
Right.
But like,
how much is he leaning on Trotz?
But how much is he leaning on Barry Trotz? Like, if Barry Trotz is, like, essentially picking the next GM, I'd have a problem with that if I'm a Predators fan.
Yeah, and look, those are very fair concerns that Alex brought up when it comes to Fitzgerald, you know, in terms of is there too much philosophical? There is the Shiro connection and all that stuff. Do you want to maybe go outside of that? You know, the one thing about the draft to remember, it's always weird in the NFL too, but remember, like, essentially part of your – it's really like part of the understanding, and I think it's the same way in any sport, is like if you were changing front offices, like, basically the old one still is going to stay through a draft, you know?
Yes,
largely.
Particularly the scouting part. Like,
yeah.
They're not going to hire new general manager and him hire a bunch of AGMs and them come in and be like, all right, guys, we got 6 days to put a draft strategy together.
Let's blow up all the last year of work that we've done. You know, you're going to go through it, and then those people – and that's why you see changes. Well, it's like even with the Titans. Like, you know, Brinker, although he had nothing to do with the draft, still – waited until after the draft, and then you move on, and that's when you make your changes. So, but it's interesting. It's interesting too with Alex talking about, you know, like the soft landing for Trotz, right? I mean, obviously, you want it to go as amicably as possible, and it is. But it's like, how much of an asset is he? I still would want his input if he's around.
Sure.
Like you said, he's been in hockey forever. I mean, the guy knows hockey. He has made some mistakes as GM here. But, like, he could still be useful and helpful.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think the Predators, a lot of the Predators fan base is like, let's make this completely new. Let's distance ourselves for basically what's been the DNA of the organization. And I get it. I mean, they've been past the second round of the playoffs one time in the history of their organization. I mean, the one thing I will say is it does sound like they're going – I think a lot of people's fear when this general manager thing started was, well, they'll just promote like Jeff Kelty, or they'll hire Brian Poyle or whatever. And they ain't doing that. Like,
right.
It's pretty clear that they're not doing that. Now, we can have the debate on Fitzgerald as to whether or not that's in the family. Like, there are some Predators fans that are absolutely going to believe that that's still in the family. I think you could make some reasonable arguments that it's not. But either way, I know that that's going to be a polarizing hire. Frankly, for me, I'm not really excited about the Fitzgerald thing, given his track record in New Jersey. And it really is as simple as that for me. Like, the New Jersey experience did not go great. I wouldn't call it a disaster. It was okay, but it didn't go great. So hopefully we'll know here in the next few days.
I mean, Alex told us we can, you know, hopefully by Independence Day.
Well, yeah, we got a text earlier. It was like, it doesn't have to be this year. I was like, well, yeah, it doesn't have to be. I don't know why you're announcing Trotz stepping down in February if it's not going to be this year. So we'll see what happens on that front. Joe, good show today.
Yeah, it was fun out here.
It was fun.
I almost feel like going out to golf. Not quite, but it's a nice golf course to look at.
Almost talked you into it. Well, that's going to do it for us today. We're out here at Hermitage Golf. Appreciate Stars Nashville for having us out here as well. Going to be out here all morning long here on the program. And we'll be back with you guys tomorrow at 6 a.m. Next man up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.